Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
Deuteronomy 14, 1 and 2. First of all, from the King James Version. It said, "For ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." Praise the Lord. We are considering a series, Peculiar People, Part 1. Peculiar People, Part 1. Please take your seat. When the Lord took his people from Egypt to the Promised Land, he had a plan for them. Praise the Lord. He had a plan for them. And that plan was necessary because they had been in a particular culture where, even though they were his people, they were Israelite, they had been in Egypt for a very long time. Majority of them, if not all of them, at the time, had been born there because Joseph, through whom they got to Egypt, he himself was dead and they were carrying his bones to the Promised Land. And so it was necessary for him to reorient them, because not all of them, in fact, in Israel, they knew their God, but in Egypt, they knew other gods. And for those who were born in Egypt, it was important that the voice of God had to reintroduce them to their original God. Praise the Lord. And so you see that throughout their journey, the Lord was interested in instructing them through Moses about who they shouldn't worship, who they should worship, what they should do as part of their worship, and what they shouldn't do at all. So over time, that amounted to the various laws of worship that emanated in the days of Moses, Aaron, and the priest. Praise the Lord. You see that he gave them the Ten Commandments, and top of that agenda is that they should serve the Lord only and not other gods from other nations. Praise the Lord. Second thing was that there were other practices of the nations that the Lord gave them. And in getting into those nations, if you study the Bible well, you find out that some of the inhabitants of those lands were still alive and were practicing what they were practicing. Praise the Lord. And so God needed to let his people know that the practices of the other nations ought not to be their practice. And that people who served the Lord of the God of the people of Israel had to serve him on his own account, his own tenets, follow the way that he wanted to be served, even the materials he wanted them to use in serving him. The kind of temples they should have, kind of philosophies they should have, and all of that. You know, in this day and our time, we are in trouble. We are in trouble because it has become very evident that when a particular figure professes to be a Christian personality or a Christian figure or a Christian priest, if that person happens to have some form of visibility and fame, it looks like that is equal to correct doctrine of the Christians. Their practices could be seen because it looks like at that point, whoever has the market has the right doctrine. But the doctrine of the Christian is not based on popularity or the figure with the masses. Bible is Bible. Truth is truth. Praise the Lord. Another challenge is when these figures have a lot of results. So there is a likelihood that people will say that their results should speak for them. And as long as results are speaking, then we equate that to correct doctrine. But massive results are still not equal to truth or correct doctrine. We know from the Lord Jesus himself that many will say that I did works, miracles, signs in your name. But that is still not a qualification. Because the fundamental thing Jesus gave to the Christian is correct Christian doctrine based on Jesus Christ. He said, go and preach my word first. It was not even miracles first. It was his word first. Then he said, these signs shall follow. So we know that Satan also, especially in the end times, will win the heart of a lot of people as an angel of darkness appearing as an angel of light through signs and wonders. That's the only way. And so I will say that even though signs, wonders, miracles are important and result in supernatural work or ministry are important, they are still not equal to correct doctrine, especially of the Christian. And we in the keeper's house must not be confused about what it means to follow the right spirit. The Bible says that test all spirit. Test it. And you know, it is extremely difficult for someone who is not genuine to hide it. Because God has not wired falsehood to remain in the realm of the unseen forever. Somewhere, somehow, it has to give birth to certain fruits that the diligent can point to and say that even though the results are going this way, as if it looks like it's Christ, the source is not correct. Praise the Lord. So if you are the person who uses the result to judge the source, you have problems. Praise the Lord. Are you here now? That's why we need to be situated properly in the truth of God's word. He told them in Deuteronomy, he said, you are the children of the Lord your God, Yahweh himself. You shall not cut yourselves. Because at the time, the inhabitants of these lands that he gave them, they were cutting themselves, you know, in their funeral rituals. They were doing some things. One of the things I would love us as a church to be able to institute would have to be our, I don't know how to call it, our widowhood rites as a church. Because I like it that the Jehovah's Witness people have been able to determine what their members should do when it comes to funerals. I like it. I don't subscribe to what the details are because I don't know all of the details. But I like the fact that they have a position. Because even though we come from a traditional family background, we should also have a position based on our faith. If I served God as a pastor and the Lord calls me home, how should I be buried? What should happen to my spouse? What kind of ceremonial issues should come around my children based on my faith? It shouldn't be left to my extended family or external family to determine, because when I was alive, I made a choice for what my faith should be. And that should include my burial. Like Jesus, he determined how he should be buried. Didn't leave it in the hands of people. So, should it be that when a dedicated Christian dies, should it be allowed for the family to do traditional rituals with his funeral? That is a position that a church should take, because faith is a major variable for negotiating how life should go. That's why when someone is a Muslim, when the person dies, there is no argument about it. Even if it's in a Christian country, they will bury the person in a Muslim way, because their funeral ceremony and right is instituted. Are you here with me at all? In case my family members are listening, including my Ebusiapeni, when it's my time to be called home, no libation at my funeral, because I'm not a traditionalist. I've never poured libation all my life, when I was alive and when I'm alive, and I don't need libation to cross over. At no time should any of my children be taken through whatever. They should come and ask the church how they should bury me, because I lived my life in the church, not in the shrine, not in the there. As my family lives right now, they know that there are many things the traditional family believe that I don't believe, and they cannot enforce what I don't believe in my absence, especially on me or the spouse that may be left behind. Praise the Lord. It should be very clear. Maybe you should put it in your will. But the church should have a position. What's our widowhood right? When our people, a woman loses the husband in the keeper's house, after the burial or on the burial, must a woman be taken to the seaside to be bathed or to wash in the seawater? When you have a case, and in case you are remanded and we pray and you come out, must you go and swim in the sea? Like all these things, we have to be discussing them in church. Because we have to follow what the Bible follows and not what the society we come from follows. Because we are not ordinary people, as you will see here. It says that, do not cut yourself. Don't make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. When the late Archbishop Idahosa was alive, you know, one of the strongest kingdoms on earth has to do with the Benin Kingdom in Edo State. Ashanti Kingdom is one of it. Benin Kingdom is one of it. Then the South African one is also one of it. Praise the Lord. Then you now have others coming. But these are very notable kingdoms. And he comes from himself, Pastor Chris Oyakilomi, all of them come from that corner, you know, in Benin City in Edo State. And their rituals were very heavy when it comes to chieftaincy, governing the space. And the Ogba died. And when he died, according to the story, if they are lying, I'm lying, that, you know, they used to execute people to, you know, use it as part. Even in Ghana, I think at some point in time, it used to exist to bury great kings with and all of that. And their time, their ritual was that when the king died, you were supposed to shave your hair in honor of the king that was dead. So you could see all these guys who are having afros here now. If at that time, they would have just wasted all this hair you have taken years to groom and nurture in honor of a dead king. And I hear the late Idahosa said he was not going to shave his hair for any dead man, and told the church not to shave their hair for the dead man. We respect him, but we are not shaving our head for him. They fought him. He fought them. He refused to do it and did not allow the church to do it. It's like one day we are here and then the overlords of this land will say that they are about to do their funeral, so everyone should shave your hair. Or the overlord of this land is dead, and so all of us should shave our hair. No way now. And you will find people in church who will stand for that. Pastor, you know, tradition is tradition. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to Jesus what belongs to Jesus. Let's shave our hair. It will spoil nothing. It will spoil everything. Tell somebody to spoil everything. Sometimes when you are going to marry, a certain family wants you to negotiate yourself into a particular ritual of the family. You came to marry. You did not come to follow ritual. It's marriage you came to do. And what makes you know that foundation does not exist, if it is not your peculiar faith, is that if you were in America as a Ghanaian and you wanted to marry, you would have married without doing that ritual. And that marriage will still be a legitimate one. So the church should have a position, because Christians are going through things that they are not recovering from. Hello? Come on now. Hello? Sometimes you have a grandmother somewhere who says that if you don't come and bow before me for me to put my bansiri on you or my waist cloth on you, you will marry my grandson. That should be a negotiation between you and that grandson, because you are not coming to marry the grandmother. You want to marry the grandson. And in marrying the grandson, if you agree with me that, assuming you're a woman, your mother should not come up to say that he wants the boy who will marry the daughter to drink human blood or drink human feces. If you agree that it shouldn't be so, grandma, keep your waist cloth to yourself. Keep it. Keep it. Well, sometimes all these things happen and you come into the church, some people never recover. Because we have not come to a place where we have accepted that we are not ordinary people, we are peculiar people. How peculiar are you from the Muslim? How peculiar are you from the secular person? How peculiar are you from the Buddhist? How peculiar are you from the rest of the people of this world as a Christian? There are things we share in common, but there are many things we don't share in common, especially when it comes to what? Our faith. So he said that, don't do these things for the dead. Look at the next verse. The reason why he's saying so is because, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Say, I'm a holy person unto the Lord my God. I will show you what that, and then he said, and the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. Say, I have been chosen to be a peculiar person. I belong to the peculiar people, very unique, customized people unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that we can read the scripture in another translation. Let's do ESV so that you understand the holy people, because that holy people there is talking about a people who have been selected. They have been chosen. They have been made sacred unto God, for God, to be with God. In ESV, he said, for ye are a people holy to the Lord your God, and you have been chosen to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, say, though we are in the earth, we are still being chosen. We have still been chosen out. I can't hear you. Say, Jesus said, he said that though you are in this world, you are not of this world. So let's read some other translations. I want to see some others. He said, you are a people holy to God. Nice. God chose you out of all the people on the earth as his cherished personal treasure. That's a message for you. NASB said, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. So we have been made sacred to function with God, to fellowship with God, to relate to God. He, for you, he's just telling us who we are. This is Old Testament. We can come all the way to the New Testament. And let me maybe quote the New Testament, because I want to come back to the scripture. In Titus, the foundation of this, in Titus 2, 11 to 15, or we can even read the 14 and 15. He said, but let's read from 11 so that we'll have some fun. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace does not mean foolishness. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. 14 says that, who gave himself for us? This is the foundation of everything. That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And look at 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. That 14 is the foundation of peculiarity. That He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, all sin, and purify us, clean us, to fit his own usage, clean us unto himself. Jesus has taken an unclean vessel, delivered it with his blood, or he's bought a slave to sin with his blood has the price. And he has now conditioned the slave, purified the slave unto himself as a peculiar person, that you can no longer treat that person like you treat other slaves of other masters or other slaves in the world. This one is a different element. It's a different person. So by our redemption, we have become peculiar people unto God. Please, before you think you're a peculiar person unto yourself, understand that you have been purified unto himself, unto God. You have become a person of interest to him, a vessel that he wants to dwell in, use, and glorify himself through. Praise the Lord. Are you here at all? Why am I a peculiar person? Because Christ redeemed me as a slave to sin and sanctified me to have a relationship with me. He sanctified me to marry me. In fact, if you go to Ephesians, that sanctification brought us into a marriage relationship with the Lord. That is why with him, he says that when you serve another God, you have entered into adultery. Because this sanctification and redemption has made you to become the bride of Christ. And no other entity should have access to you. That is equal to adultery. So you live for him. He lives in you, lives through you, works through you. He's fashioned you in a way that makes him to honor the vessel, the personality, and stay comfortable with you. So when we go back to that Deuteronomy, he's telling us that he's chosen us as a peculiar people unto himself. And because of that, we cannot do some things. We cannot follow some things. Because of that, when you want to marry, you can't fornicate because you have been chosen. This is the fundamental of the law of the Spirit, that you live for Christ. And so you have a regimental position with the Lord based on your redemption, that you cannot operate like an unbeliever or you cannot operate like an unserious Christian. Because you understand your peculiarity with the Lord Jesus Christ. How peculiar are you? Do you know that you are a special breed at all? That verse 2 of that Deuteronomy is very powerful. It says, you have been chosen. Say, I've been chosen. Please give me the verse 2. It says that, for thou art an holy people. The Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. So, you did not become a peculiar person. You were chosen to become. You were chosen. It was not your choice in the first place. Under the old covenant, they were chosen. Hello? Under the New Testament, you will make a decision for Christ and that chooses you to become a peculiar person. A decision to receive Christ. Then when you receive him, you are in his redemption. Then you are now a peculiar person. From that time, you make that decision. You cannot be doing here and there. Are you here at all? You should have a set of Christian principles that guide the way you function because you are not an ordinary person. Guides the way. That's why sometimes we use the word covenant. Some people have a problem with the usage of the word covenant in the New Testament. But I still think that it brings the mind of the believer to a particular place where you know that you are a peculiar person. And because of that, because of your peculiarity as a royal with Christ, you have to live your life within the royal tenets that are permitted. And you find out that the way a royal gets their food is different from the way the ordinary people get their food. So when you understand your peculiarity, you will understand how your supplies come. You will understand what are your rights. What are your privileges? You will understand how to use your body, how to use your soul, how to use your spirit, how to negotiate yourself in a world where you are peculiar. Praise the Lord. Come on now. Praise God. Are you here at all? Now, it is on the foundation of this peculiarity that he says that a fundamental thing for a Christian marriage is to raise a godly seed. Apart from companionship, is to raise what? A godly seed. So if you don't understand that you are being sanctified and be made a container for the reproduction of godly seed, you will give birth into a free world where your children will become anything and everything. But God has a plan for a Christian marriage because you are peculiar. Imagine the child of a fetish priest. That child belongs to something. Two of us. The child belongs to something. Recently, one of the known people in town, we saw her son on radio and all of that, you know, advancing their traditional beliefs. And as young as that boy is, he's been taught his peculiarity in traditional religion, African traditional religion. Is that also? Some of you were angry. But the mother didn't give birth to that child to become a Christian. She gave birth to that child to incorporate fully the spirit, the traditional idols that she serves, because she knows her peculiarity. You cannot marry with a mind of America. You have to marry with that peculiarity in your mind, helping you to negotiate who you marry, how you marry, how you move from singlehood to married life, because you have been chosen as a peculiar person unto the Lord. That some of the people, when they want to marry, I say, you can't marry this particular person because you have to understand your peculiarity. You won't fulfill what God has chosen you to fulfill. So if you're a spouse here, you have to understand. You have no choice to say that I'm not spiritual enough. We are past that level. Let this series of teaching help your mind to situate well why the Lord chose you to link up with so and so person to be in the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai said, you can cut my head. I'm not bowing. I'm a peculiar person, and in our peculiarity, we don't bow to any man. We don't bow. We only bow to our God. Not even any other God. Daniel did the same. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did the same. Everywhere God's children appeared, they said, you can kill us. We are peculiar. You are not a universalist. You are not a postmodernist. You are a peculiar person. You are not even a Keeper's House church member. You are someone who is a member of the very body of Christ. Not hypothetically, in reality. You cannot be detached from Christ. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. You are a peculiar person. Praise the Lord. So, it's important that as we grow as believers, we understand that we are peculiar people. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, when we are in Christ, we are not ordinary people. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look at that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Remember, you have been redeemed from iniquity, and you have been made a peculiar person unto the Lord. So, you are a new creature. He said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. Say, I'm a new person. I'm a peculiar person. I'm not hearing you. You have to talk to me. Say, I'm a new person. And I'm peculiar to the Lord. I'm different in this world. Say, I'm not an ordinary person. Yes, I'm not. I'm in this world, but I don't function like the way people of this world function. Please, let it enter your heart. That when the Bible says you're a new creature, it has nothing to do with your body. Your soul has been transformed from darkness into light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Watch it. 1 Peter 2:9. Please watch it. It said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Say, "I'm not ordinary. I have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light." So you are in a different realm altogether. Operating from a different realm, you should have a different mindset, a different reality. You should have, everything should be different. The way you offer should be different. So he said that for a peculiar person, your offering starts from offering yourself unto God as a holy, a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God. You yourself, you are offered. So in that relationship, because you yourself, you are offered, imagine everything you have and everything you stand for. That's why the Christian cannot own anything when it comes to God. But here, the point I want to make is that your Christianity is not because you are in church or the church you attend. Like we've normalized it, this thing is deeper than that. Your Christianity is not what you do on the surface. You have to be deeper than what you think you are. It's a deep thing that has happened. And sometimes we trivialize it. Sometimes we lack an insight into who we are. Who he has made us. Not based on what you are doing. Who he has chosen you. Imagine when they said that the oracle has chosen someone. That person has no choice. Except there is a superior oracle that blocks the lesser oracle from entering. Whether the person lives in the village or lives abroad, the oracle will enter the person. Because that person is what? Chosen. And by this, does not mean join the choosing challenge. You die a foolish death. When the oracle that owns you has chosen you, and you are still within that space of darkness, you have not entered into light where you are inaccessible, go up, come down. Oracle will enter. Because you are within his space. As a peculiar person, you have been moved from darkness into light. Separated from darkness into light. You are no longer dark. In fact, the real interpretation is that your nature is no longer dark. You cannot be traced to darkness. Your nature has changed from that of the nature of sin and possibly Satan to the nature of Christ, the one who redeemed you. It's a complete being altogether. Complete. When he was saying that the old has passed away, the new has come, it was not a repair. It was not even like, this is a complete shift. Like the back of your palm and the front of your palm. Like black and white. There is no semblance. There is no element. He didn't keep one element in darkness. In the nature of the person in light. Not one. Not one. It's a complete shift. It's not a redesign. It's not a repair. It's a complete new product, new nature, altogether. Complete. Peculiar. The world doesn't understand it. It's peculiar. Look at somebody. Say, why are you thinking the world should understand you when you are peculiar to God? The only person to understand you is the Lord himself, the Holy Spirit. Because you have been chosen and made peculiar, is the Spirit that understands. That's why he put his Spirit in you. That the Holy Spirit will be able to work with you, lead you, guide you, bear his fruits in you, make you become like him after his nature and likeness. Nothing less, nothing more. It is what it is. Peculiar person. I'm peculiar. If you are trying to be anything else, it's you that has decided that a VW car should have a Benz engine. It's your choice. But the maker of the body, the maker of the car, put in a particular engine to conform with what the design is.
And a VW is never a Benz. It's never a Toyota. Though they are all cars, but it's a peculiar... In fact, if you did that and the car had a warranty and you changed the engine with that and you sent it back on the account of the warranty to, let's say, Germany, that the car I bought from you 3 months ago, you need to fix it for me, and you have tampered with that engine, they will ship it back to you that this is not a car we sold to you. You cannot. If you are a believer, you cannot think some way. Let this mind be in you. The same mind. Say I'm a peculiar person. I'm not hearing you. Say I'm a peculiar person. So does that mean you shouldn't have friends? Does that mean you should not have Muslim friends, Buddhist friend, and all of that? No. Does that mean that you cannot buy watch from the Muslim woman? No. Praise the Lord. Somebody say no. You know, he said you are in the world, but you are not of this world. It means that you are operating with different sets of rules. So when you buy, assuming, so let me even address the friendship world. The Bible said friendship with the Lord cannot be friendship with the world. That if either you are a friend with the world or you are with Christ. Hello? What does it mean? Does that mean that when you are in classroom, you shouldn't talk to anybody? Does that mean that in your office, you should only talk to Christians? Does that mean that only a Christian can employ you and you should only employ Christians? No. There is a world economy that is common to all men. But what it means is that even though you are in this world, you cannot function like the way the people of this world function. You can't use the same set of rules, the same set of principles, because there are things that are permitted within the ambit of your Christian faith, based on your peculiar relationship with the Holy Spirit, that are not permitted to go overboard. You cannot cross a certain line. I'm not preaching legalism. I'm telling you something that, as a peculiar person, what that means is that you can have Amina or a Shinto guy as your friend, but you have to draw a line based on your faith, understanding your peculiarity. That's why when you buy wache from even a malam, the wache is not a problem. Is how you handle it with your peculiarity. That's a problem. He said, receive it with what? Thanksgiving. This is how we handle it within the light. When you belong to a common economy, this is how we handle it within what? The light. So we handle our offering within the light with a peculiar mind. We handle our prayer life with a peculiar mind. Within the light. He said, unbelievers, they don't pray, they do well. They are not in the light. They are not in the light. The light has what it takes, what it uses to help his people. Praise the Lord. And darkness has its own economy. So you can't even compare because you don't belong to that economy. So you have conversations with your classmate, blah, blah, blah. But he's just telling you, have you read the 6 and 7 books of Moses? What are you using it for? What are you using incense for as a Christian? Like you are burning incense to do what? Florida water to do what? Like, do you understand? You are in the light. You are a peculiar person. You have the belief system structured into your peculiarity based on the spirit that has saved you and chosen you to be peculiar. You have to live in a certain way. Hello? So you see that there are conversations you are having, and Daniel will not allow them to make the conversation into his spiritual space. Esther will not allow that. Mordecai will not allow that. The apostles, Jesus' disciples, they never, Judas allowed that. He lost it. But the rest never allowed that. Hello? Come on, are you sure you are here? So you draw a line. I'm functioning in the light. I can't function in darkness. Why do you see darkness when you are in the light? You are in the light. You are not supposed to see darkness. So why are you even desiring for the things in darkness? when they don't exist in your space. That's why, as a peculiar person with Christ, your taste, you must nurture your taste based on the help offered to you by the Holy Spirit to conform to the taste of the Spirit. Nurture it. Tell somebody, you nurture it. To conform to the taste of the Spirit of God. You nurture it. Why are you peculiar and your mind is the way it is? Why? I don't know if I'm communicating with someone today. Some of the things that have become like instruction to you, commandment to you, they ought not to be you. When you know your identity in Christ, that I'm a peculiar person, it's not a matter of someone is strong, someone is weak, someone. Whose child are you? It's a fundamental question you should ask. Who am I? Am I a child of God? If I'm a child of God, then I am peculiar. Peculiar. That's why sometimes we see some people trying to marry and we know it won't work. We know what? No, it won't work. Because when your eyes open to who you are in Christ, everything will fall apart. Not because you married a bad person, but there is no synergy. There is no... Are you here at all? There is no... they've not been wired like that. They don't have the nature. They don't have the likeness. It's a round peg trying to fit into a square hole. Nurture yourself. Grow. Understand your peculiarity. I want to take it easy. Praise the Lord. That's why the apostles talk about evil communication, corrupt. Praise the Lord. Because you're a peculiar person. And the hard drive can be corrupted. This world can corrupt you as a peculiar person. So guard your heart on what enters into that heart, so that you can maintain your peculiarity and have the full functioning in light, because you belong to light. It's my prayer that my biological children will understand that the spirit they adhere to is the Spirit of Christ, and that they are peculiar, and they should not seek to become anything that is not in the light. It should be your prayer also. But before you be able to produce that philosophy, that mentality, that nature, you ought to have discovered who you are. Your identity. You see, once you discover who you are in Christ, 100% of your problems are solved. You are a peculiar person. Your bread is on ground before your day starts. So you don't fret when you are not seeing that bread. Because he gives us daily bread. Whether you are seeing it or not, it's been provided. It's already provided. Praise the Lord. As the people were complaining, they didn't know who they were. I said, why are you people complaining? Just ask. What do you want? He gave them manna. He gave them meat. He gave them anything. He said, as a peculiar person, you don't complain. As a peculiar person, you don't become anxious. As a peculiar person, don't become worried. Know what it takes to receive in the light. Have faith. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, because you are a peculiar person. The Spirit is ever ready. So before you ask, I already know you have received it. And if you are asking in faith, you already have it. You are not beating the air, beating the wind. You are not. Are you here at all? I'm a peculiar person. I stand in the light. I've been chosen by the Lord. I'm not ordinary. I am not ordinary. I'm not normal. I'm a breed from the Spirit. Breed bought. Made by the Spirit to function with the Spirit in the light. So though I am in this world, I am not of this world. That's why you can have a covenant position. You have a certain way you flow with the Lord. Because I'm a peculiar person. I have a certain way of flowing with the Lord by faith. I position my faith with the Lord this way. Not after the way of the people of the world. He said, there are some who have entered into us, but they are not of us. Tell somebody, you are not ordinary. Function the way God wants you to function, and you will see the best of God in your life. Tell someone, you are peculiar. You are unique. You are a customized person for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why, for those of us who still pay tithe, because we are still babies of Christ. Yeah, I think the tithe is a good point to start learning, because obedience is learned. Jesus learned obedience through the many things what he suffered. Obedience. To learn how to give my 100%, I start from 10%. I start from there. It's not a tasky God. But you find out that once you adhere to the full potential of your peculiarity, the 10% is no longer even an issue of obedience or honor. It's a flow. Because you are doing much more. Praise the Lord. You are doing what? Much more. When you see Christ, money loses its value. He said you can't serve God and mammon. Because when you see Christ, you won't see the value of mammon. You will serve Christ with that mammon. Jesus sat on the colt, and as the people beheld him when he was entering Jerusalem, as they saw Christ, they put their treasure on the floor. They put their cloth, they put their money, they cut the palm trees, and they were worshiping him because they saw Christ. Anything that was valuable in their eyes was no longer valuable. They put it before him. You can't see Christ and see the value of money. It will be all, Christ will be all you want. That nothing will matter again. Are you here now? Sometimes we struggle because we don't know who we are. The prodigal son was struggling until he remembered his peculiarity. He said, in fact, the long and short is that I am in this mess because I have accepted to be in this mess. Because I'm really not a child of a pig or a pig owner. I'm not meant to be eating with pigs. My father is there. My father is a great man. And he's a good man. And if I return to my father, everything will change. Once he remembered who he was, whose child he was, his situation changed. Not knowing a party was waiting for him. They changed his robe, changed his ring, his authority, everything. And are you here with me at all? Tell somebody, return to your peculiarity. You see, your value will greatly depreciate and diminish when you don't know that you are a peculiar people. Oh, daddy, you are disciplined. That, no, it's not discipline. It's peculiarity. You are prayerful. Really? It's not prayerfulness. It's peculiarity. If you had uphold your peculiarity as a male born human being, you don't think about a particular orientation of sex. That's maintained. It's when you don't maintain it and you are in a universal space that you get confused. Am I this? Am I that? Am I this? Am I that? Hello? Peculiarity. It's just when the lines get blurred between man and woman, male, female. What then? But when the lines are very sharp, darkness, light, there's no confusion. There's no what? The person in darkness is not expecting to see. And the person in the light is not expecting to be blind. Because there's too much light not to see. And in darkness, there's too much darkness to think of seeing. Clear lines. Peculiar. Why do you have an electric charger in your house? Because I drive an electrical car. that will need charging. So your peculiarity comes with a whole package so that you can function. When you understand who you are in Christ, that's the game changer. It's the game changer. I'm not seeking to marry another woman because my peculiarity, you know, endorses me being in a marriage of one man, one woman. Like, it gives me stability. Praise the Lord. At all times, the peculiar person is married to one person at all times. So when you lose it that you want to, yeah, you can do this, you can have this side cock, side chick, but your peculiarity, you know that you are so monotonous and so satisfied in that monotony that you don't need. You see that your real nature, that's why it feels like you are cheating. No one will tell you, but it feels to you. But you will try to suppress it. But every time it will feel like that. That's why you feel guiltier until you lose your conscience. Then now you don't feel it again. Because you've lost the sense of your peculiarity. But an unbeliever who is a Casanova doesn't think, for them, the more the merrier. They even call it variety. And they don't feel any... do you understand? Hello? They don't feel any... It's exciting. You will do well this year in Jesus' name. That amen is not strong at all. I said you will do well this year in Jesus' mighty name. Peculiar unto good works. Yes, unto good works. Where did we see Titus 2:14? Reto seclete. He said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Once you uphold your peculiarity, you will see that it has its own world of producing some good works in you. I'm not even talking about just morality. Business, your peculiarity has a way of following certain peculiar principles that will make you successful in business, make you successful in your career. Are you here with me? In your marriage, in your finances, that's why the way we manage our finances as believers is different from the way an unbeliever generates their own. Even though the broader thing is savings, investment, but there are details based on your peculiarity. The world hurts, but the peculiar man gives to Christ first. And as a result of that, their supplies are never cut. So an unbeliever doesn't understand, why are you always giving? Why are you always giving? Why are you always giving? He doesn't know that the nature you have is different from their own. And your own, the more you give to Christ, the more you receive. They don't understand that. You cannot explain that one enough to them because you go explain tire. They will not understand. They don't have a mind to understand you. And you are trying to make them understand. It will not work. You are explaining to a goat why a dog barks. And the goat cannot bark. He tried all the antics. He's still bleating. How do you want the goat to understand? The harder it tries. The harder. But he doesn't understand why the dog with less effort is barking. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not wired. He won't understand. He won't understand. I pray that God will help us. That the eyes of our understanding will be opened. Praise the Lord. Peculiar. Clap your hands and bless the Lord. Can you clap your, come on, give the Lord a big clap offering. You can even add a shout of victory to it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you blessed? Nice. I'd like every eye to be closed right now. If you are here, you have not given your life to Christ. Today you've learned about peculiarity. How when you allow Christ to come into you, he moves your nature from darkness into light. Unrighteous to righteous. By faith. You want to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Become my Lord and my personal Savior. If you are that person, you say, I want to be peculiar in Christ. I want to be in Christ. Christ to be in me. And walk as a peculiar person. And with all our eyes closed, I want all of us to pray this prayer, especially those who have lifted your hand to receive Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you today for the opportunity to hear your word. That when I receive you into me, I am redeemed from sin and chosen as a peculiar person unto you. Sanctified, purified, made holy unto you. Today, I ask you to come into my life, to become my Lord and my personal Savior. I'm not that old person again. I'm a new creature and I'm a peculiar person. Thank you for saving me and making me peculiar in you. Amen. Clap your hands and bless the Lord. Oh, you can make a joyful noise unto Jesus. We are a living church. Clap your hands and give him a shout of victory. You will do it and do it until we hit that chord. Clap your hand unto God, everybody. Give him a big clap offering. And if you believe that between now and December, you are victorious. Give him a shout of victory. A shout of victory. A shout of victory. One more time. Give him a shout of victory. You are worthy. Hallelujah. What a joy.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.